We've got Congressman Armstrong on the line. Welcome, Kelly Armstrong.
Hey, Rick. How you doing? I just walked off the floor. Sorry I'm late.
Did you vote the right way?
I don't know. I think I voted the right way on a resolution to, as a sense of Congress, to get rid of the Department of Education. I thought that was okay.
Oh, excellent. Good for you. That's fantastic. So listen, so much stuff going on. I understand you have limited time, so we might do a little bit of kind of a rapid fire. I'm happy to talk about anything you're interested in. I got a couple of things. One is the TikTok CEO. I saw he was being grilled yesterday. I don't know. Was that continuing today? Or tell me what's up with that. And have you had any involvement there?
A tremendous amount of involvement. I'm on the committee. I got 5 minutes of some stuff in, and I think also got some time yielded back. I'll give you the short version. I mean, we're talking about coding and independence and all of this. There's two things I have a problem with TikTok. One, you cannot separate TikTok from ByteDance, which is directly influenced, if not completely controlled, by the Communist Party. And you could tell because the CEO, for all of his different procedural safeguards they want to put in place, when he was asked a question about censorship in China, he pivoted to drug laws in Singapore. He tied himself in knots in order to not criticize the Chinese Communist Party for how they treat the Uyghur community. So wow. I actually asked him if Jack Ma might have an opinion about what happens when you criticize the Chinese Communist Party. So, I mean, we have
Alibaba.
A lot of different tech. I don't want our government collecting our data. I don't want Google doing it. I think this is the biggest privacy conversation we need to have in the 21st century. But TikTok is unique. The other problem with TikTok, which is more of a political problem, is government is at its worst when it's paternal. And if 150 million U.S. citizens use it, and we just come out and say, no, we're sorry, we know better than you, it's bad for you, we have to be able to sell this message to the American people, because it is a national security issue, and they are collecting and monetizing and weaponizing our data.
Yeah, fantastic. That's I couldn't agree more. I'm glad you're there and fighting for that part. Where do you expect this is going to go? Is this a lot of posturing, or do you think something can actually be accomplished here?
I think something can be accomplished. You know, you have both majority leaders and minority leaders in both chambers of Congress. You have the Intel committees, the tech committees, the commerce committees, everybody from, you know, Ted Cruz to Mark Warner are all in agreement that something needs to be done. We just need to make sure we figure out a reasonable and rational approach, because we also don't want to pass symbolic legislation that doesn't do anything, not on an issue like this.
Right. Right. Agreed. All right. Let's pivot to civil asset forfeiture. You've got the FAIR Act that you are a sponsor of, which is to improve that. I looked at the act a little bit. One of them is eliminates the sharing. Can you tell the listeners just a little bit about this?
So I think this, and you and I have had agreements and disagreements on this very issue at the state level back when you were in and I was in the Senate. But the real issue is a lot of states have done really good work on civil asset forfeiture. North Dakota, the bill we got through, and Pennsylvania, you can go across the line. The trapdoor to that is what's called equitable sharing. So equitable sharing means if you have really strict civil asset forfeiture law, you can call the Fed. They'll come in and seize it under the federal law, which, by the way, is completely draconian. I've told you that since we started working on this together.
Agreed.
And then they'll do a kickback to local law enforcement. So if you get rid of equitable sharing, one of the things you do is take away the incentive for local law enforcement to call in federal law enforcement, which is a huge issue all the way across the board. Federal courts are courts of limited jurisdiction. If we keep them out of North Dakota as much as possible, we're always better off.
Agreed.
They should prosecute what they're supposed to prosecute, nothing else.
Right. So this would seem to me to be something that would be bipartisan. And I know this was introduced. I believe it was introduced. It was certainly present 2 years ago, but nothing came of it. So what's happening?
It's been introduced. You know, it's Tim Walberg. He's a Republican. It's Jamie Raskin, who is definitely not a Republican. I've been a co-sponsor on this bill. We've had a couple hearings on this bill last Congress that were really bipartisan. It's one of those things that has a lot of bipartisan support that for whatever reason doesn't get legs. I'll be honest with you. This is a really good reform bill for people who think civil asset forfeiture is there will be people who think it doesn't go far enough. There will be people who think it goes too far, that whatever. But as somebody who used to do this, it's actually a really good bill. But I'm telling you, if it doesn't get legs this Congress, next Congress, I'm introducing a bill just to get rid of equitable sharing.
Yeah.
Because we need to get some movement. And that wouldn't be, by the way, this bill's significantly better than that. But I just want something to move.
Right.
And one of the things that always happens with this, and from my friends in law enforcement and all of this, they talk about funding, they talk about where they get their equipment, all of those things, and those are very compelling arguments. I don't think they're persuasive, obviously. But if you could take away one piece and make just incentivize states who have reformed their civil asset forfeiture law to follow their own law instead of the federal law, I think would be worthy if we can't make it move.
Right. It begs the question in my mind of if this has good broad support, who's behind the scenes blocking it? You know, what agency? And I'm sure you probably couldn't comment if you did have an opinion, but.
No, and I mean, not all things are partisan, right? Like when we start talking about, you know, warrantless searches of Americans, there's a lot of libertarian-minded Republicans like me that work with very, very progressive Democrats on the left. Some of these issues, the ones that are, we do bipartisan better than people think. We do partisan really well. I think all you got to do is turn on the TV. The ones that end up having trouble, it seems to me, in my 4 years here, are the ones that have these weird mishmashes of coalitions. So. And trying to figure out a way. I mean, listen, there's just not a lot of times where AOC and I are on the same side of something. So how you get to those positions and you work forward on some of that stuff is how it happens. But you've got prosecutors on both sides of the aisle. You've got law enforcement on both sides of the aisle. So there are parochial and different reasons why people would not want this to move. But it's a good piece of legislation. It makes the process more fair. Whether it does enough is another question. But the first step's always the hardest, as is proven. This bill's been introduced at least the last three Congresses and has never moved.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm a huge advocate of civil asset forfeiture reform, turning it to criminal asset forfeiture. So I wish you and the bill well.
You and I could talk for an hour on why this is a really good bill and why some of these cases are really, really, really draconian.
Yeah. Well, probably 2 or 3 hours, but we would lose all our listeners. So next thing I want to bring up is Tucker Carlson pegged you and Kevin Cramer as being against the release of the 44,000 hours of video footage that McCarthy did to Tucker. I don't know to who else. And I was a little bit aghast at it, but then I read some more, and your quotes at least seem to, I would say in my mind, vindicate you. I was concerned, but talk a little bit about that, because, you know, Chuck Tucker being this number one guy on TV, that's to me, that seems pretty damning.
Yeah, I mean, I only gave one. Well, I actually gave three quotes on it: two out here and one on a different radio show. And in all three, I've said I think, with the exception of the very limited amount of hours that would actually be operational security, so you got 41,000 hours, you might be talking like 35 hours of that. I think it should be released to everybody. I don't know how. I think a producer gave him my name and he never read my quote because I didn't criticize it. I did say. You know, he also released a very small amount of the hours of tapes, and you're dealing with red lens, blue lens. I mean, that's the reality. The best answer to this is they should release it all. Otherwise, there's always going to be a narrative context to it.
Right. Well, and I agree there. And you know what? I probably will get crap for throwing you softballs, but this was an area I was expecting to nail you on. But of course, doing just a little bit of homework, there was just no meat there to that thing. So,
well, and
I appreciate,
you know, I just don't have
that.
I just, yeah, and I do, and I believe it should all be released. I mean, I've said that from the beginning, but the other answer is I don't have the bandwidth to avoid the press and fake and do all of those things. So when they ask me a question, I answer it. And so sometimes that can get you in places where I don't think it's particularly fair.
Believe
but
me,
that's
believe
part
me,
of the game.
Friend,
we'll deal with it.
I'm fully familiar with that. Okay. We only have another minute and a half. Trump indictment. What's going on?
Well, I think the actual real story on all of this from a legal perspective probably has a lot more to do with the crime fraud exception in the special counsel where they're forcing his lawyers to testify. But I've been pretty clear on this. This is the three prosecutors have turned this down, including Bragg originally. You have proof problems, you have jurisdiction problems, you have statute of limitation problems. Your star witness is a disbarred convicted liar. Your other star witness lost this exact case in California civil court, just from a purely prosecutorial standpoint. this, if Donald Trump wasn't the defendant, they wouldn't be bringing this case.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. So listen, Doug Burgum may be running for president, and there have been rumors for the last at least 2 years that you may be running for governor. Are you going to be running for governor in 2024?
I am very much going to go into my hearing to absolutely no. I like this job. This is the job I'm doing. I mean, we'll deal with that. I mean, I've always said, from whether it was in the state party or a state party chair or a Senate judiciary or all of those things in North Dakota, the best way you can prepare yourself if a good opportunity comes up is do the job in front of you. So I'll concentrate on the job in front of you. If something would happen where we'd make one of those choices, we'd make it quick and we'd give it a go. But I love being the only voice for North Dakota in the U.S. House, and I'm having a lot of fun out here.
I'm going to take that as open-ended. All right, Congressman Kelly Armstrong, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.